Hi, and welcome to the Virtual Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, Kimberly Ring, and I'm so glad you're here. In the Virtual Classroom, I invite virtual teachers from across the country to sit down and talk to all of us about what it's like to be a virtual teacher. It is my hope that through our conversations, we can educate, collaborate, and of course, connect to build a tribe of virtual teachers. Thanks again so much for being here. Hey everyone, again, welcome back. So I'm super stoked about today's podcast because I had Ashley. She's from Spice Up My Teaching on Instagram, so I was really stoked to get to talk to her. She also co-hosts on the Uncaffeinated podcast. I'll put that in the description of wherever you get this podcast, so that way you can hit her up there. We talked about a lot of different things, but she's very passionate about community, and building a community in the virtual world can be challenging, but she gives lots of tips and tricks on how to build that collaborative team like you would in a traditional classroom, being able to work together. And before those who are the only grade level teacher in their virtual classroom, just stay with me because I do have some ideas that I'll put in at the end. But Ashley was just incredibly gracious and sharing her strategies, her tips, and I can't wait for you to hear our conversation, and I hope that you get out of it as much as I did. So, without further ado, here's Ashley.
Well, my name is Ashley Pierce, and I am currently teaching fifth grade with Colorado Prep Academy, but I don't live in Colorado. I live in Nevada, so definitely a unique position to be in, to teach in one state and live in another. This is my, I lose track, it's eighth or ninth year. I have taught in a variety of different school settings. I started off in fifth grade, teaching at a Title I school, then moved over to a Title I magnet program where I taught first grade, which was probably, those are the days that I look back at, and I think that was so much fun. I had an apartment, and I was teaching, and I was doing my master's, and it was a lot of fun. And then from there, I went to a Catholic private school, and then from there, I went to K-12, and here I am today. This is my second K-12 school, but I feel like I have a lot of different school types kind of under my belt, which is kind of, it's kind of nice to have all those different experiences, and I think they all kind of blend together to create
absolutely
the teacher that I am today.
Absolutely, they do. Yeah, I'm thankful for my 3 years in a traditional school, and two of those years was with the exact same class. And I felt like they really are the ones that molded me, like build a real foundation, because I was able to try things with them in a way that I wouldn't have, you know, because I had them before. So we were immediately able to go into the year running. And anyway, so definitely, absolutely. So you've worked for two different K-12 schools. Yes. What two have you worked for?
So the first one that I started off with was Great Basin Virtual Academy, which sadly no longer exists, but they shut down. And so I then kind of was on the hunt a little bit, and it was, for everyone that's in K-12, it was really hard to break through. I hear it's really hard to break through the K-12 barrier when you're applying, but even being internal, it was still a little bit challenging to get schools in other states to look at me because I wasn't a part, I don't live in the other states. But Colorado, they looked at my stuff and they took me for an interview. And it's been such a good placement. I love our school. It is so fantastic.
That I will agree with you. I still praise my friend Heather Miles for talking to my principal at the time, because I don't know if I would have broken through. I would have, because
I got through. It's crazy the way that, so the whole way that I even got through was I had applied to a different school when I initially came into K-12, and somehow a recruiter found me and found my information and said, hey, I think you should apply here. And I applied there. And that's how I broke through. So I don't.
Thank God for that recruiter.
Thank goodness. I need to go find who that was and send them a thank you email, because I transitioning to virtual school, you know, I consider myself to be like really up to date with technology and confident, and I like to try new things, but it was a learning curve for me, even feeling super comfortable with everything. So it has been the greatest challenge, I think, to enter this virtual teaching.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I talk about that a lot, and I have been talking about it a lot just because of where we are right now and all these teachers being kind of thrown into our world. And I feel like they now understand, they're not going to understand it to its fullness, but they understand at least a little bit more that, hey, she's probably not just sitting on her butt all day.
Right.
I mean, I technically am, but you know, I'm
but
not
it's
just
a very jam-packed day.
Yes,
exactly.
It is.
It is a full day for sure.
And so knowing that you are super passionate about our community, and I know that's something you really wanted to talk about is just, and I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to put like any vibes into my, like, anyway, I'll just let that happen. You talk about it, but I know that you're super passionate about our community. So
yeah,
I'll let you lead that conversation.
It's kind of funny because I love the, just the PLN that has started on Instagram. Now, with that being said, I will say during this whole pandemic, I've kind of backed away from social media just in general. I find that that is my way that I kind of stay sane, is by disconnecting from everything. And in all of this chaos, I kind of just needed to disconnect from all social aspects. I don't know how that works out, but
you're taking social distancing really, really
to
seriously.
A whole new level. No, I just, you know, just the phone, I have to put it down. I'm on technology and computers and email all day long. And so when I'm off of that, I just have to, it's just kind of how I've found my own. I think on one of your previous podcasts, you guys were talking about self-care, and my self-care is that I just have to disconnect from everything. And so, but I love this network that we have formed of virtual teachers. Just it's kind of exploded over the last couple of months, which is really nice to see. Because prior to, you know, finding and networking with everyone, we had the people in our school, which my colleagues are fantastic, but it's always great to see how other schools are doing it, and what other teachers are doing, and just getting those ideas. And I love just, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We just kind of take what someone else is doing and just put our own spin on it. And so I love all the extra teachers that are on there that are showcasing what they're doing and sharing and tutorials. And it's fantastic.
I agree, because like you said, I have my building, or, you know, building, but our world. But even then, I felt like it wasn't quite enough. I wasn't sure what other schools were doing, and I wanted to learn from them. And that was something I was pushing for a really long time. I'm like, I really would love to have a PLC with the other, like, fourth grade teachers across the country. And it's yet to really happen, but I still would really love that to happen, because even though our states sometimes teach different standards, I know there's Common Core, but Oklahoma does not do that. We're cool like that. But we're all probably still teaching main idea and antonyms and such like that, because those are what we need to do. But and I feel like I've taught it the same way, a thousand different ways, or even a thousand different ways, and it's still not fully resonating with my kids. And so I know that's something you're passionate about, is you've taught the same standards, different ways and differently for every single one of your classes. Is your inspiration coming from this community? Where'd you get it before that?
I think just forming those little communities wherever we are. For me, the previous brick and mortar. I worked at a Catholic school, and I found my team there. And it's still to this day, teachers, we live in two different states now, work in three different states. We talk and compare and share all of our experiences about kind of what we're doing and bounce ideas off of each other. And it's like a daily thing. I jokingly say I talk to, now these two girls are the ladies that I podcast with. We've kind of put our podcast on hiatus because of everything. But we have, one of our teachers is in Florida and two of us are in Nevada. So we have that 3-hour time difference for our recording. But I joke that these ladies are the people that I talk to more than I talk to my own mother. Just because we are constantly just bouncing everything off of each other. And so I think when you find that network of people that you feel really comfortable and safe with, it's just a really positive thing. And so I think it's important for anyone, anywhere, and they don't have to be the people that you work with. They certainly can be. That's how I met these two ladies. We all work together. But it wasn't like that at the beginning. We just kind of started doing little things together professionally. And then it kind of grew. And now, you know, these ladies are the people that we bounce all sorts of ideas off of each other. And so for me, that's something that kind of keeps me going is on my off days where something, you know, happens and I'm not sure what the approach needs to be, or I have a couple of ideas, you know, this is my network that I can go to and bounce these things off of. In addition to my coworkers at my school and, you know, other people on social media. And so that's just the nice thing about all these connections that we have.
Yeah. I have one big question. I'm not sure how to word it, but I'm assuming, are you guys texting, or what's the best form of communication that you've had to build that relationship? I think I could be just bouncing. I bounce ideas. I am open from Skype with my team. And I think that's how we talk to each other the best with those particular people. But thinking about like outside of my social network, what's been the best way to communicate with your peeps, your people?
My people. So we have, there's an amazing app out there. It's called Voxer. And Voxer, Voxer. And it is just voice messaging back and forth. So you could do it on your phone, but Voxer just, it's great because the messages don't disappear, whereas an iMessage, I think they disappear after you listen to them or whatever. But the cool thing about Voxer is it's just a voice message that you can listen to when you get to it and, you know, respond. And so we're just in this group chat. And there's so many Voxer groups too. Of just teachers coming in, and the alerts I'm sure are just going crazy because everybody's always responding. But it's a great app if you don't want to type everything out and it gives that voice and that inflection and everything. So Voxer is it. It is an awesome, awesome app. I use it with some friends too. And it's just it's a great way to feel like you're talking to someone because you are, but it's on your own time too. So you don't have to be on the phone with them, you know? So it's a great app.
I like that idea. I kind of do that already. I don't know why I didn't think about that professionally, but I do that with one of my best friends, and it's on Facebook Messenger, but we just talk to each other back and forth. So, and I love that all the reasons you just said, I can listen to her and hear her, like, I don't know how to describe that, but it's more than just words on a, you know, black and white words. I can hear her tone. I can hear how she feels about the things. So absolutely. I love that.
You can hear the kids screaming in the background.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I like bribe mine to go do something because the other day, my team and we were practicing Nuro or playing with Nuro, and he's just back there dancing, like right there. And he's like, what? They're like, what is he doing? I'm like, I'm sorry.
Oh my gosh, my little one has been wanting to come in. She's almost two. She's turning two in a couple, less than 2 weeks actually, but she's been wanting to come in and she sees my Bitmoji on my lessons. Yeah. And so somehow she thinks she calls it, I'm teaching the girls. So we go with it and she wants to come and say hi every day. And my husband has to take her away while I teach.
Please take her away. That's how I am. And my husband's working at home now. I got two new coworkers here and it's just weird. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just, but it's great.
I jokingly say my husband needs to find a hobby, but he can't do any hobbies right now.
So something else you really love is the autonomy that your principal and your admin gives you. What kind of autonomy do you have and how do you flex that, I guess is the best way I can ask that.
You know, I really feel like, as I've kind of grown and evolved into the educator that I am today, I have realized that something that I really value in an administrator is the trust that I feel with them, and the confidence that they have in me as an educator to make decisions that are in the best interest of my students. And I have been really fortunate to have a lot of administrators like that, where there's just that feeling of trust where I can go to them, just like my community of teachers. I can go to my administrator and I can say, hey, this wasn't working out, or I want to try this, or I'm having a really hard time with this student and this family. And I don't have to hesitate upon doing that. I can ask for that help and that support or whatever I need. And I think that that is really valuable to have. And kind of with that, then, is that autonomy for me to make those decisions that I need to make for my students. I think that that is so important. And that is something that I think, as not that I'm planning on looking for jobs anytime soon, but you know, as we as educators, you know, are interviewing, yes, the school's interviewing us, but we are also interviewing that school and that administrator to make sure that that's a good fit. An interview isn't just one way. It's both ways. Because we want to be in a place where we feel safe and we feel confident and we can make mistakes and it's okay. It's a really good feeling to have that, that trust going both ways, I think, between myself and my team and my administrators, because it just allows us to make mistakes and learn from them. It allows us to take risks, and sometimes they have a payoff, and sometimes we kind of have to go back to the drawing board and rethink. But it just allows for us to be a little bit more confident in that we're all able to share to make the decisions that we think are best for our students.
Absolutely. I remember my first year of teaching, my administrator was in my room, kid you not, because it said how many times on the formal evaluation that she gave me, was in my room over 40 times. 40 times! And my peers in that building, it was like 10, maybe? Like, she did not trust me, and I did not trust her. And I don't know what it was about me and her, we just did not click. And I'm so thankful because the next year I was at a completely different school. I did not interview her because I just wanted a job. I was scared. I didn't know because I found out during the summer that I wasn't coming back to that school. So like, I just need a job. And it was a better fit. And she trusted me. She came in there the like minimal amount of time. And I really grew as an educator because I felt that trust and that she trusted me to do my job and I trusted her to support me when I needed it. And it's just, it is powerful. So with that in mind, those questions that we should be asking, because like I said, when I first, actually with all the schools I've ever applied for, I've never asked them questions because I just wanted the job. So what questions would you recommend for anyone who is interviewing at a K-12 school or virtual school, because they probably don't even understand our world. So what kind of questions should they ask?
Right. That's a really good question. I think to know kind of what the PLCs look like, what that meeting time frame looks like, is really important to know. I think for the current school that I'm at, we have a lot of time that's devoted to planning with a team. And that is something that's really important, that collaboration. I think one of the things that I have always asked is, what does that collaboration look like between teachers? So that way I know if I'm kind of going to be a lone wolf or if I'm going to be working with a team. And just to kind of get an overall feel of what that school culture is. I think that school culture is really, really important when you're going in, especially being a new teacher at a school. Ideally, we would all like to be somewhere with a really positive culture. I don't think anybody says, oh, I want to be somewhere where nobody is pleasant. But I think that that collaboration piece is probably the biggest thing to ask. And then also looking at the supports that are in place, what's the mentorship for a teacher coming in? I know as I came into, I've been with K-12 for several years, but still being at a new school, a new K-12 school, they provided me with a mentor teacher who would check in with me all the time. Now, not so much anymore because I genuinely don't need the constant weekly support and check-ins the way that someone maybe brand new to K-12 would need that. But I can still go to that mentor teacher and ask if I have any questions, just kind of like the in-between before I go, you know, up the ladder, to ask all of your questions too. So I think knowing that mentorship and that collaboration is just, it's really important as you're going into a new school.
Absolutely. We have like a day, like tomorrow. I'm so excited about tomorrow. Tomorrow is just like our plan day. We can work with each other. We can work on projects or lessons. And I'm thankful for both. I'm thankful for the alone time just to plan what I want to do with my kids. But I'm also really thankful for my time with my team that I can collaborate because I haven't really gotten that anywhere, just a whole day. So how much collaboration time do you guys have? Because we get, like, we have all Wednesday. We have a faculty meeting in the morning, and that's really it. So what's it look like for you at your school?
Wow, that's a lot of time that you guys get. So what does your teaching schedule look like?
So we teach 4 days a week, 4 hours each. Well, before the pandemic, it was 4 hours each day. So like a 2-hour block for reading, a 2-hour block for math, and they were 30 minute classes. And so, and then we typically have almost a daily meeting, almost, I think it's 3 days a week normally before the pandemic. And then we have IEP meetings in the afternoon. If we have them, that's when they would be. Trying to think anything else. We have a meeting with our, in the afternoon on Thursdays with our, we call them CFAs, but I think other schools might call them advisors, and we collaborate with them. So that's a 1-hour meeting to collaborate with our CFAs who are talking to our families kind of on a more engagement side than an academic side. So that way we're kind of both in the know of what's going on with that particular family.
That's nice. So do you guys have, you guys teach Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yeah. And each grade level was allowed to pick whichever day. So I think third grade is the only one that chose Friday, but we really like that midweek break. Like
it's a nice little, that is nice. So you guys have that whole day. So we have kind of a similar model where we have the targeted 30 minute sessions, probably averages about 4 hours a day. And that's the 4 days a week. But every day we have an hour blocked off. Some days we have scheduled meetings, but other days it's our time to meet with our team if we need to. But basically it's an hour 12 to 1 every day where no instruction is taking place. So that essentially means every teacher is available. So then on Thursdays during that block is when we have our PLCs, which are our grade level meetings to kind of go over. Now we have three teachers for fifth grade. It kind of varies depending on enrollment for the other grades, but right now we have three teachers, and then we have an intervention teacher for ELA and for math, and then obviously special ed. And so that's just a really great, those Thursdays I look forward to so much. And then usually just my team will meet another hour during the week. And really, we're just trying to make sure that we're kind of aligning with what we're teaching, and how we teach it is usually a little bit different. But we try to make sure that our teacher graded assignments are pretty consistent between all three classes. And then just kind of what goes into the grade book is pretty consistent. And then whatever skill or standard that we're teaching that week. But our model has kind of shifted a little bit since all of this stuff started. So right now we've shifted from targeted sessions that are skills and standards based to really helping support with the OLS instruction, making sure, and I have to say, it has been very enlightening going through and basically teaching an OLS lesson. I know some schools, every school kind of does it a little bit different, but we didn't focus. We kind of, if we're looking at like the RTI models or the RTI tiers or just the tiers of support, we kind of view OLS as tier one, where everybody has access to that grade level instruction. And then tier two would be those targeted sessions that everybody has access to. So proficient and advanced, they have access to tier two instruction as well. And then tier three would obviously be those kiddos that need additional intervention support from the intervention teacher. So that's kind of how our model works. But so we don't do a whole lot with OLS other than just reteaching here and there from different quizzes that maybe have low mastery or things like that. But actually sitting down and going through the OLS lessons, I realize why there are so many disconnects for our students who maybe aren't doing the workbook or they're missing this or that. It has been very enlightening. So I think it's helping to form what we are going to be doing next year.
That's actually what we have. So we have I normally teach three small groups, and then my fourth one in that block is a RDL, Requested Daily Live. And I don't know why it's called Requested. Just think it should be daily life, but it's our whole group. And I make my proficient and advanced kids come to that. Now I don't make them come every day, but I do make them come to that. And then our like basic and below basics, that's where it's requested, because we kind of feel like it's the tier one is their OLS, but I'm coming to realize that if they're struggling in my small group, they probably need my support in the whole group of that tier one. So I'm advocating just for everyone to be in it. Does everyone come? Because it is. It's so enlightening. That's what we do for our RDLs, though, is we go through our OLS lesson and pick out the big chunks, because you can't do it all in 30 minutes, and hit those highlights. And then I'm like, okay, well, we did this, this, and this, but we didn't get to your spelling. We didn't do that. So you need to go practice that. And so on and so forth. But I did have some questions about your PLC. In case a person is not, or a team of teachers is not doing that, not collaborating together, what would be your biggest, like, this is, you guys should meet, and this is what you should focus on. If you're going to focus on one thing, what would it be? Right.
I would say, focus on, I mean, I guess I could only use focus on what the main points of what you need to teach are. So that way you are really on the same page. Now that works for our school. That's probably something that maybe is more I'm answering for me personally, because we do have three teachers, teaching fifth grade right now. My last school, I was the only one. I was the only fifth grade teacher. So the fourth grade teacher and I worked a lot more closely with really just even with our kids, we kind of threw our kids all together because we had small enough groups to where we could do that. And we just, we did a lot of co-teaching. And I think that that is really powerful that, but you have to have both parties. So now I'm kind of going off into a whole nother tangent, but.
And we can get there because I have questions about that. So, but go ahead.
Oh my goodness. No, but I mean, for myself, for that PLC time, it's really just to kind of go through and just almost dissecting a skill or a standard to see what is like the life skill of this standard. What do they need for future life? Because I only have them for 30 minutes. Some kids, I have gotten away from the once a week sessions. I can't do the once a week sessions with the kids. So my advanced are required to come to ELA or to math or whatever it is. So the once a week I tried it, I didn't like it. It wasn't enough. But for some kids it's twice a week for 30 minutes and for some kids it's four times a week for 30 minutes. And so really diving into what is the most important part of this main idea standard? What do we really, really need to cover? So that would kind of be for me what I find to be most valuable during that time.
All right, cool. And then now you said co-teaching, which is something that I don't ever think I've done successfully in a virtual world. I always feel like it's just one of us teaching the whole time and the other one is monitoring like the chat box or something or other. What advice do you have for those teachers that need or should co-teach, but they're just kind of afraid to do it?
Well, you know, I think what you just said is that's an example of co-teaching where one takes kind of the management aspect and one takes the instruction aspect. That is one like critical part because then that one teacher that's teaching can really focus on the content. So I think it still is co-teaching in my opinion. But I think in order to have a really true successful co-teaching model, I think both teachers or even three need to really all be in on it. They have to all want to do it and know that one, not everything is going to go my way, which as a teacher, it's very easy to be type A and want it to be all your way. But to just be able to have that relationship where you can interject and you can kind of change things. And so, at my previous K-12 school, I taught fifth grade. We had another teacher who taught fourth grade and her and I we meshed. We got along really, really well. We had kind of the same vision of what we wanted from our instruction. We had, again, kind of dissecting down to those skills. We had a lot of similar skills identified that our students really needed support with. And so we could take our groups and we could combine them and really just kind of focus. And so just from the planning aspect, it was really nice just to have, you know, you put two heads together. Maybe one teacher took on the planning, but, you know, maybe as I'm teaching, the other teacher could find something that maybe she had an idea of how she could explain it another way, you know, because I think sometimes we get so caught up in how we think is the best way to teach it when really another strategy might be more effective or we could see kind of where the disconnect would be. And so it's just easy to chime in. Now, I think where co-teaching sometimes fails is maybe we don't want to step on each other's toes and we don't want to hurt someone's feelings and things like that. So that's where I say that relationship is really important and you have to both be able and willing to really kind of follow through and not be afraid to, it's all with the relationship, I think. And just feeling that, going back to that trust, feeling that trust and that safety with that person is important.
I agree. I've done the chat box and all that fun stuff. I had one teacher where I felt like I could step on her toes, but in the best possible way. And I did think it was something powerful about watching her teach it and kind of being a student and seeing it in a different light. But unfortunately, just the way our model works now, we don't have a whole lot of co-teaching except with our special education teachers. I don't know if they're afraid to step on my toes or not. So maybe I need to do a better job of building up that relationship and letting them know that they can step on my toes and interject where you see fit. So
yeah, and I think having a slow progression towards it is not a bad thing. I know, you know, sometimes there was a lesson that I was teaching recently, and I knew I had seen a graphic somewhere that showed this division strategy that I was working on. And so I had the special ed teacher in my room. And so I said, hey, do you mind finding a graphic really quick? And so she was able to find that, put it on the board, and then kind of go through and explain it. And so just even something like starting off really, really small with something like that, I think kind of shows that we're both in it. And we're both kind of working on it, even though I had the lead, it's always good to kind of come in. And I think as being the lead teacher, I can ask the other teacher that's in the room, hey, do you have another way? Or do you think that there's another way to explain it? Or is there another strategy or things like that? Could maybe just start that co-teaching relationship and maybe help it to blossom.
I appreciate that insight because I'm a very extrovert. I'm an orange. I should probably talk about what that actually means. I keep saying it and I'm not sure if anyone really knows what I'm talking about, but I'm just like extremely extroverted. And what was I going to say? Sometimes I'm not afraid to say things. I'm not afraid to ask things, but other people might be. And so I don't always understand that struggle. So I appreciate your insight because anyone who might be listening to this might be like, oh yeah, I could definitely do that. I could just ask someone to grab me something real quick and that would help foster that relationship. Cause I feel like a lot of us are introverted too in this world. So if we like to be at home in our houses by ourselves with our
Absolutely. Dogs. Well, we are joking in our household that this whole quarantine hasn't really changed much of our life other than not being able to see family. But like we already spent a lot of time at home. We work at home. We stay at home.
You know? Yeah, I called a lot of my students last week before school started and I'm like, are things like upside down for you? I went into it like really like scared, like their lives might be totally upside down and things might be tragic and like really nervous about that. And they're like, our life hasn't changed at all. Like, oh God. So some of them did. And I was still very aware of that. But for the most part, even our kids are like, this is normal. So
yeah. Which is, it's kind of nice. But this whole world thing, it's craziness, everything that has changed, which when our school announced that they were going to be making changes to the schedule, I was kind of like, why? You know, we don't need to, but we had spring break and then we made the changes after spring break. So being a couple weeks past that and doing OLS it's actually been really, really nice. So for someone who's really hesitant about it, it's been a nice little shift in how we're providing that instruction for our students.
Yeah. And I'm thankful. A lot of my kids and their families were like, why did we shut down for 2 weeks? And I'm like, honestly, on a selfish side, I'm really thankful because my son's now home with me all the time and I'm not used to that. So that like gave me time to make that adjustment, catch up to my family. Cause I'll be honest with you, I don't think I really understood them until this week and having to school with my son. And I tried to do a lesson while teaching and he was in his Zoom meeting with his teacher. And I'm like, we're not doing that again. So like, I can't do both. I can't. I thought I could, but I can't. I can't. Well, I know we're coming up on time and I ask this to everybody. Is there anything that we didn't talk about or I didn't ask about, but I should have? Is there anything that you wanted to talk about but we just didn't get to or forgot to ask about? Just anything.
Oh gosh, I don't know. I think you had a lot of really good questions that kind of made me think a little bit more, which is really nice. But I do just want to say your podcast has been really fantastic just to kind of be able to, you know, especially on these social distancing walks that I've been taking. It's been kind of nice just to catch up or listen again to an episode and just kind of, you know, stay on top of everything. So
listen again. Oh, you just made my day. I'm just thankful if anyone listens once.
You know, I think I have referenced the the episode that you did with a couple of other teachers after Promising Practices, where you guys were talking about self-care. I have, because I didn't attend that session. And so I have kind of gone back and listened to that again, because it was really, even though you guys were summarizing a presentation, it was really helpful. And I have kind of gone back to that a couple of times just in thinking about that, like this hype term of self-care, which is so important, but really the meaning behind it. And so that was a really just a positive conversation that I personally have kind of gone back to a couple of times.
Oh, good.
Talking to people about it. And it's just a really good conversation starter.
I think about it too, that particular conversation a lot whenever I work on the weekends, even if it's just a little bit to play. Like this weekend I made my, this Frozen lesson. And if I had stayed like, no, I can't work on the weekends, I wouldn't have made this really fun lesson that ended up being one of my kids' favorites. Like I sang for the first time in forever when the class started, and they just thought that was hysterical because it was our first time back in 3 weeks, and I would have missed out on that. And I'm glad that I think of that conversation when I start to give myself a hard time about like working on the weekends, even if it's just purely like for fun and creativity. And so I'm like, they gave me an out. They gave me security in knowing that this is actually still self-care, and that Ashley, it was such a joy talking to you. You're an amazing
person.
It was
so good talking to you.
Man, I love talking to Ashley. I could have kept going all day. What I love, though, is that we really emphasize on how important it is for us to stick together. It's important for us to keep talking to each other. It's important for us to bounce ideas off of each other. And some of those best inspirations come from just like what she talked about, those little snippets where you just an idea comes in and you bounce that off of somebody and then it grows. A good PLC will set down time each week to really discuss those things, really dedicate time, and I'm so thankful that our schools allow that. However, sometimes it's hard to coordinate those. Sometimes it's hard to really connect virtually. And so I love the tips that Ashley gave us. However, like I said, and how we talked about during this conversation, is that you might be the only teacher in your grade level. You don't have anyone else to collaborate with. I say to you, you do, because I'm thinking right now, my grade band, 3rd through 5th. And maybe you're like, man, girl, Kim, I hear you, but I really have no one to collaborate with. The only person who has the same free time as me is science, and I teach language arts, and I'm middle school and he's high school, or you know, whatever. You guys could still collaborate together on engagement, right? So maybe you guys do a similar theme that week. Maybe it's a Harry Potter theme that week. Maybe it's, I don't know. We did operations, you know, like the old school game operation and reading. So we did that today, actually. We did that today. And we did main idea and supporting details. And to those who participated, we're able to do surgery and take out like the broken heart or the butterflies in the stomach. And they loved it. Had nothing to do with main idea and detail, but they at least were engaged. Still, ultimately, it's my hope that you can find someone, either inside your school or outside of it on Instagram, or someone that is teaching the same grade level skills as you. But if not, you know, maybe you can find someone who's kind of on the same wavelength as you as far as engagement goes, and create fun units for engagement, and then you just insert in your content. The important thing is just finding community and playing an active role within the community. So not just leeching off of other people, but really putting your 2 cents in, whether it's stepping on someone's toes or not. It's just important to at least spark maybe another idea. Maybe like, yeah, that's good, but what if you did this? And they'll either come back like, yeah, that's really good, but I don't think it's gonna work with my kids. Or yeah, or we could do this. Like a collaboration is just so powerful, and because it sparks more and more ideas. And if we're not collaborating, then it's hard to build more ideas. Our brains only go so far on their own. We need other people to bounce ideas off of. So feel free to bounce ideas off of me. We do have the VT lounge, the virtual teacher lounge. And that's what I hope to happen. I hope someone will eventually post, and maybe I need to model that. But it's my hope that someone's like, hey, I'm teaching main idea and supporting detail next week. What's some of y'all's best ideas? How do you teach it? Do you use rubrics? You know, what do you do? It's my hope that that happens. So if you teach at a virtual school full time, please head on over there. The link's in the description. It's on the Facebook page. It's my hope that that can be a place where collaboration happens, even especially for those who don't have anyone in their building. And I'm doing air quotation marks as I say that, because I know we're virtual. But it's still really important that we find a place to collaborate. So head on over. We can all help. Also, during this month of April 2020, we are doing a giveaway on the K-12 Talent and Development team. And this is open to all virtual teachers and everyone. So whether you're brand new or not to virtual teaching, or here temporarily or full time, it's open to you. So make sure you head on over there. Their link is also in the description of wherever you're finding this podcast. And it's just a simple photo challenge. So feel free to participate. We'd love to have you. Thank you so much for listening. As always, remember to be brave, take a risk, and above all, have fun. See ya. Bye.